Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome.
Is this or is this not the right time to go full-time?
Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Bolden here. Delighted to have you here listening to the Speaker Lab podcast for another episode of our Coach's Corner series. Now, there are a lot of fun perks in our Speaker Lab programs, but our amazing coaches who guide our students through the ups and downs of building a speaking business are the heart of our mission. Every single day, our coaches dedicate their wealth of experience to helping our students gain the clarity and the confidence that they need to make an impact as a professional speaker. Today, our Director of Student Success, Mary Alice Goldsmith, is going to be taking over the show alongside one of our other incredible coaches. And together, they're going to guide you through time-tested strategies and tough topics with the practical advice and wisdom that only comes through decades of experience. So whatever stage of your speaking journey that you're in, I know that you're going to benefit from this conversation. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic to them. Enjoy.
Hey everyone, Mary Alice Goldsmith here, Director of Student Success. On today's Coach's Corner, we have our wonderful, fabulous, I don't know why every time I introduce you, I say those words because it's just so darn true.
Naturally. It's amazing. Like you're like a hype man. You go with me everywhere. Like you walk into a grocery store, like, yo, Target. I don't know if y'all know, but Master Coach Jeremy Rodger is about to get some vegetables.
Well, there you go. He introduced himself. I need to say no more. But I am really, I love doing these with you because Lord knows you bring a ton of humor, but you also bring a lot of clarity. And I think this is one of the questions that we do get a lot in terms of gauging when should you make that decision in your speaking business to take the leap of faith and go full time. I think the good news is it's actually not so much a leap of faith. There are some statistics that you can kind of measure things on. We're going to deep dive into a term that you use called beautiful tension. Can't wait to get into that. But I know you've had this question before, and I know that this is something that you can address. So I think the best place to start is really having a full assessment of the business in order to understand, is it something that's viable to go full time? So let's start there. What are some things that they should be looking at?
Well, I think it's less about, and actually I'm glad that we're starting here, because even that statement to me helps pinpoint the reality that there's a lot of confusion around this. Mm-hmm. So for me, I set up a 7-step formula that, and forgive the joke, it's kind of like you hear all the time with, you know, your science has no place with my feelings. And the goal of this, actually, that we're going to discuss today is to look at the science, because there is a step-by-step metric to keep tabs on your career so that you know without a doubt, is this or is this not the right time to go full-time? And I want to say that again, what we're going to do here is we're going to separate the science from the emotion, because mm-hmm. where most speakers fail is they make this as an emotional decision. Like, I'm going to burn the bridges. We're burning the ships. We're going full-time. Mm-hmm. And then 3 months later, that those bills are overdue and they got a spouse looking at them like, great job, Carl. And it's like, you know, like if they had just followed this formula, then they wouldn't have had that issue. I'm sorry to all Carls. Y'all are wonderful.
It's true though. It's true. There is a realistic assessment you need to make, because being an entrepreneur takes a lot of creativity. And if you are financially strapped because you took the leap of faith too soon, it's going to be really hard for you to have that creative genius and to make really good decisions to nurture the business and help it grow. So knowing when to do it and you know, balancing like, okay, I need money. I definitely need money. And you need money to grow the business. You need money to make money. And so really being smart and not making it emotional. I would you say that it's emotional because it's almost like, oh, I made it. I quit my job and now I'm a full-time entrepreneur. I can't eat. I don't have a house to live in. My wife left me, but I made it.
Well, it's that old time cliche that entrepreneurs are the only people who will work 80 hours a week to not work 40. But I feel like John, and I forget which book it was, but John Acuff said it brilliantly when he was talking about when's the right time to quit your job. And he's like, you complain about having one boss, but imagine having 50 tiny bosses when your electric bill and your cable bill and your phone bill come due. And I feel like what we're trying to do, and I want to be clear about this, we're not trying to talk anyone out of going full time. Sure. What we're trying to do is to say, when is the proper time to launch? And what mile markers can you check off to go, you know what, this is becoming less of a dream and more of a reality? Because I think to get to the dream, that emotion is beautiful. That emotion is 100% necessary. But when you're in that transition phase, that's where you really need to temper the emotion versus the reality. And what's great about this from my side of things is if you apply these 7 steps, you'll get to affirm the positive emotion instead of being let down by it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good stuff. So step one, we'll just walk through the steps and rift on all of it, all the 7 steps.
We will give all the secrets away today. And right. It's super clear, like some of this may seem rudimentary. Mm-hmm. Like some of it may seem very basic, but you'd be amazed at how many times people look past it.
Yeah.
And I myself, so part number one of 7 is, do I actually have something I can charge for? Mm-hmm. And I love this because I failed so hard with this. Like,
we're going to get confessions and steps. I love
it. Yeah, well, like that's the great thing. And I'm sure you've received this feedback from me. Like, I'm never going to ask someone to do something I haven't done before, whether I succeeded or I failed from it. Mm-hmm. And when I lost 200 pounds, everyone was like, this is amazing. Tell us about it. And then I tell people about it and they're like, I don't care. And I'm like, what do you mean? I did exactly what you told me to do. But when I look at it from a business side of things, I was selling my story, but my story wasn't their aspirational identity. Like, I'm the only Jeremy Rochford. I'm taken. Other people wanted to be their best version of themselves. And instead of using my story to show them how they could get there, I was just simply telling my story. Mm. Which, after the novelty wore off, it was like, well, that's good for you, but how does this help me?
Yeah.
And in about my second or third year speaking, when the opportunities and the luster kind of wore off, it was like, I'm not actually helping people. Like, I'm telling a funny story, but there's no A to B correlation. And so when you look at the 7 steps to when is the best time to go full time as a speaker, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do I actually have something I could charge for? Mm-hmm. Am I clear on what problem I'm solving? Am I clear on who I'm solving it for? And is this idea a coaching idea or a speaking idea? Mm-hmm. And I really want to sit with that for a moment. Mm-hmm. Because we get to work with a lot of amazing authors and coaches who want to build out their reach and their platform. And they're like, speaking is the next logical step. And they're right. But the challenge is they frame it sometimes with what did really well in their coaching. And they don't ever stop to think, is this one-to-one model going to work one-to-many? And so we'll have some individuals who are like, you know what? I want to teach women over 60 how to have their best life. And you're like, that's amazing. But where do those people congregate? Mm-hmm. And will people pay you to show up?
Right, right.
And it jars people sometimes because they'll make, you know, $2,000-$5,000 for a coaching program with these individuals because it works one-to-one. Mm-hmm. But then they'll get into it and they're like, these people tend to hang out at the YMCA or at the library and no one's paying you to show up there. So that's where you got to take a step back and you go, well, how do we make this something that people will pay for? How do we make this something that a majority of a niche will pay for? So that's step number one, is do I actually have something I can charge for? And am I clear enough with it that anyone can understand? I always have this rule. If my mom doesn't know what I'm doing, then I need to rephrase what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the first part of our programs, you know, is really getting clear. And even if you've been doing something for a long time, there may even be more layers to that, that you can even get more clear, more specific, so that you can start getting paid in cash and not, you know, Starbucks gift cards. So there is that, there is a differentiation there. And so we're experts at that, really helping you get clear. Love that. Well, all right, let's go to number two. Sorry, interrupting you.
I was trying to compliment you, but I guess we can blow by that.
No, give me it.
Well, no, I was going to make the joke that you can tell how good you are at a podcast and communicating by the way you lead conversation, because literally that was going to be step number two, is will someone pay me for this idea? But I want people to really sit and think about that. There are two things that most people will say are the most valuable things in life. One, time. Two, money. You may have opinions on this, but when you boil it down, what are the two most valuable resources to people? Time and money.
Sure.
Are people willing to give you their time or their money for your idea? Mm-hmm. Which means sometimes when you're literally getting started, speaking for free is not a bad idea, because it gives you a litmus test of, will someone give me their time? Because if you can't get booked for free, then go back to number one. You've not clearly identified the problem that you're solving, because people won't even give you time. But then when you get to the second point of, okay, they'll pay me time, but will they pay me money? Mm-hmm. That could be any money, right? Because now we've got two. If people are willing to give you the two most valuable resources they have for your idea, some time and some money. And it can be anything from a gift card up to a really nice voucher. It could be anything, right? Like, that's step two. And we can't minimize this.
Right.
Because if we get to step two successfully and we go past step two, we now have proof of concept. Because someone we don't know is validating our thought through their time and their money, no matter how little it is.
That's right. Which, and I think that kind of, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. All good.
I was going to say, I think that validates like what we always say, like we can't compare our chapter one to somebody's chapter 25, right? And so this is important in this process. That's why it's a 7-step process, because you're not going to, you know, go through the speaker lab, create a speaking business and then quit your job, right? You have to get out there. You have to market yourself. You have to test the market. You have to test your material, tweak your material. That's part of the skill of being a speaker. And so I really love step two, because like you said, that gives that confidence that the speaker needs to be able to say, actually, I'm $5,000 for that keynote. Where before, if they didn't do step two, they may not ask that question, right? And so that segues into three.
Brilliant. which is, yes, so well said, to bring us to number three, which is, will someone pay me what I want them to pay me? So step one is, do I actually have something I could charge for? Step two is, will someone pay me anything, whether it's their time or their gift card? Step three now allows you to level up. Step three means we've got proof of concept. I'm consistently being asked to speak for free, or maybe an Amazon gift card. But am I able to go, you know what? I thank you so much for the offer. My fee is $2,000. And they go, yes. And you're like, you said yes, right? Okay. All right. Yeah. Right. Like there are very few feelings like that first time you ask for a number you feel you deserve and they're like, yeah. You're like you feel like you're tripping. You're like, you heard it was 2000, not 200, right? You're like, yeah, we're good. You're like, yeah, we are.
Start listing all the things you want to get yourself.
Right? You're like, oh, I am going to snack so hard this weekend. All the gummy bears. But that's the third step of this is, you know, will they pay me what I want? Because yes, gift cards are amazing. $200 for gas is amazing. But at some point, you have to value yourself as a professional. You have to value yourself as the intellectual property that you are, because you are the expert and you bring so much value. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about this reality is there's no one step that everyone seems to get tripped up on. Everyone seems to get tripped up on something differently because people like me, don't be like me originally. I totally have something to sell. What are you selling? Me. Great. No one wants you. Oh, okay. So, but people do, like, people are like, or they want to speak to everyone. And you're like, but what, okay, then go hang out at a coffee shop. But then other people will struggle to just get gigs, any gig. And then other people will struggle in the imposter syndrome of trying to charge what they're actually worth. And instead of asking the hard question of themselves of why am I not enforcing my boundaries, they'll blame the promoter, they'll blame others, some kind of circumstance. But at some point, you have to ask what you're worth. Mm-hmm. And if you start to get it, A, high five, B, yes, all the gummies you can handle. Mm-hmm. But then C, that brings us to number four, which is, will they pay me what I want consistently and predictably? This is something that a lot of people do bypass far too often, is they get that first $5,000 gig and they're like, Benjamin's forever. And it's like, nope, Benjamin's for 2 weeks. Because the blessing and the curse of entrepreneurism is that we celebrate the wins, but we're also the ones responsible for the wins. Mm-hmm. So if we spend all of our time celebrating, then we're not planting the seeds to continue to grow the fruit we deserve. But going back to what started this whole conversation, which is the predictability of the process. If you clearly have an idea that resonates with people and you're getting to a point where you're able to turn down free or very minimal compensation opportunities and people are giving you what you ask for, then you can start to go, okay, people are, you know, I've booked 12 gigs at $5,000 now, or most people have a range. So let's just say $3,000 to $5,000, right? So I'm getting what I ask for consistently, and I'm having no problem or guilt turning down the free or lesser opportunities because I've elevated to that stage. Once you get to that stage, which is number four on this, then you really start to get to the next phase, which is my favorite phase of all time. Because for so many of us who start a side hustle, we tend to give up before we ever really see the fruit. Mm-hmm. For a lot of us, tragically, we have really fun hobbies that if we just stuck around a little bit more, and if we just focused a little more intentionally, and if we just hustled a little smarter and not harder, then we'd get to number five, which is what I call the beautiful tension. And the beautiful tension is when you have a full-time job, mm-hmm. so 40 hours a week. But in the 10 hours or so that you're giving to this side hustle, you're making about 25% of what you're making at your full-time job. I'm not great at math, so we'll just use round numbers. So if you're making $100,000 a year mm-hmm. at your full-time gig, and in the 10-ish, maybe 15-ish hours that you're working on your speaking business, you're making $25,000. Then mathematically, you can step back and go, well, huh. If I'm making a quarter of my salary with a quarter of my time, mm-hmm. laws of mathematics would suggest if I 4X my effort, I will 4X my income, which means I can then actually make this as a full-time speaker. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it's a beautiful tension is when you get there, the business demands want more than that 10 or 15 hours. And it's so close, you can taste it. You can see it. But that then brings us to number six, which is, have we experienced that beautiful tension for 6 to 12 months? Mm-hmm. because far too often we jump too early. Like I said earlier with number three, we got $1,000. Yes, they'll all pay me $1,000. Well, maybe not. You may have 2 or 3 months of a beautiful tension, but let's say that you work primarily in schools. You're going to have an ebb and you're going to have a flow. Mm-hmm. So if you make your 18-month projection off of 6 months of data, you leave yourself vulnerable for another 12 months. Mm-hmm. So that's why for me, number six on this is, are we experiencing the beautiful tension for 6 to 12 months? Mm-hmm. Because if you can look back and you can go, for the past 6 months, I've been able to really make, with a quarter of the time, a quarter of my income. And I've got 6 to 12 months of data. Mm-hmm. So that's when you then get to number seven is, have I considered all the outcomes of going full time? And a lot of speakers, and it's not just speakers, it's any traveling entity, comedians, playwrights, performers, musicians, a lot of individuals romanticize road living, but they don't understand all that comes with it. Now, I'm not saying nay. I'm saying please consider. Because some of the things that I might, as a 40-something, present as a, I don't want to do that anymore. The 20 or 30 might go, yes, I've been dying for this my entire life. So, again, non-emotional. We're just separating the science from the emotion so we can make the most informed decision. Mm-hmm. But when you're having that beautiful tension and you're like, okay, I'm ready to do this, have you considered all the outcomes? Meaning travel. Do you like the idea of living out of a suitcase for 50, 60, 70 events a year? Are you ready for that? Mm-hmm. Are you someone who loves routine and maybe fitness is your coping mechanism? And now a lot of that could be disrupted. Are you creative enough to continue that? Are you someone who maybe have a CPAP because of your health and now you have to travel with that and you never thought of that? Like there's so many things mm-hmm. that we don't consider what life on the road could be. How will this affect my family? Do I have a supportive family? I can speak for a lot of people. When I leave, my wife is like, thank goodness, finally, quiet in the household.
She does all your bookings, right?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you know what? We got enough anchor dates. He can stay out for another few weeks. But there are also some relationships where, and I'm finding this now just in my age, like as the sandwich generation becomes more prevalent, mm-hmm. are you leaving your mother or your father who might need your care? And again, this isn't saying don't do it right. because you might make $300,000, which is 3x more than you're making at your full-time job. And if you take $50,000 of that to hire someone to help with that parent, you're now still $150,000 ahead. But we need to consider it and be calculated. So when you get to the last level of this, of have I considered all the outcomes? Have you considered what it actually would be like to live on the road for a sustained amount of time? Have you considered all the things that would affect, whether it's your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health? Do you have literal capabilities that might be threatened, whether it's medication? Maybe you're a Walgreens person. This area only has Rite Aids and you need your meds, or you do have to carry CPAP. Is your family okay with that? Do you have kids events that you might miss? Or mm-hmm. do you have no kids and this is the perfect time to do it? Have you thought about what your future looks like? And what I mean by that is this. So many people get so focused on the short-term goal that they don't think about the long-term goal.
Yes, and that's huge.
Yeah. And the final thing is like, is this sustainable? Like what made me get out of the music industry was, while we were a van and trailer band, we made it, which was great. I was still a 6-foot dude sleeping on a 4.5-foot bench. And we could either spend an extra $50,000 to $200,000 a year to get a bus, or we could get paid. And we liked money. But yeah. The cost of not having that comfort meant like I still have bad posture. And at some point, I'm like, this is not sustainable for me. For other people, it's amazing. But for me at that point in my life, it wasn't. And even now, as I am more choosy about my events, like with both my kids being on the spectrum and needing different therapies and needing to be more home more often, if I were to get an uptick in bookings, like that wouldn't be sustainable for my family life. My kids would suffer. My wife would suffer. Back to the joke we made earlier, which will be a reality in a few years. Like once my kids are out of the house, then my wife's going to be like, yes, please just go on the road again. But for right now, in this season of my life, being more home than away benefits all the best outcomes. And I bring all this up because we thrive off of emotion, and we should. There are so many good things that have come from emotion. But I think we can all agree that there's some negative things that can come from emotion. And so what I'm asking you to consider is to go through this 7-part checklist, write it down, put it on your wall, and ask yourself, where am I currently at right now in this? Mm-hmm. Self-assessment, where am I at? And then ask yourself, where do I need to be? And then base your expectations and desires off of that. And what is great about that is you may actually up-level. There are some people who should be charging $5,000 and they just got comfortable charging $2,500. Mm-hmm. So this thought process may double your money right away.
That's right.
There are other people who realize that if they just wait 6 months longer, they'll still be married. And I may have just saved your marriage. You're welcome, by the way.
You're amazing. You're amazing.
I do. Hashtag so humble. but what I've seen with this is not only did it help me go full time in a way that did it without regret, it's helped so many of the students that we work with go full time without regret. Because not only did it edify the short term, it edified the long term. And so there was holistic happiness, which you can have in a speaking career or any type of intellectual property career, as long as you're doing it the right way. And that's one of the things I love about being a coach here for the Speaker Lab is we help speakers do it the right way. We're not just like this one and done, sell you a dream and then wish you the best. We teach you how to build a business from people who have been there, who have learned the hard way, learned from my mistakes. But because we learned the hard way, we can offer these unique insights that a lot of people can't, because they're selling the dream, but they never lived it. That's what I love about us is we're going to tell you the honesty. We're going to encourage the heck out of you, but we're also going to tell you to do it the right way.
Yeah, no, this is great. I think there's a lot of golden nuggets here, especially the beautiful tension piece. I also think too, like give yourself permission to be in the season. Like you mentioned, season of life. Well, there's seasons in your business too. And I think to be able to have an assessment like this and to really respect what season your business is in, is it a time to grow? Is it a time to just be grateful? Is it a time to pull back a little bit? Like, you know, really, really thinking in that way is important. One thing I also want to add, and we talked about this in a podcast I did with Coach Angie, you know, really knowing your worth and getting paid your worth. I truly believe when your income becomes predictable, that's when it's time to ask for more. And so when you're, like you just said, some people might be getting a raise after this podcast. You know, if you're offering $2,500 keynotes and you're getting yes, 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 it's time to bump it up, right? And so then that'll get you closer to that 6 to 12 month beautiful tension part. This is great. And I agree. Take notes, put this on your wall and do this assessment once a quarter and just see how closer are you getting to that opportunity of being in that realm of beautiful tension so that you could start having those conversations about when's the exit period, or is the exit period from full-time to part-time and then increase, you know, 50%, 50%. And then, you know, it depends on personality. It depends on what goals are. And so that's okay too. So I think a big piece to all of this is giving yourself permission, but actually doing the work to do the full assessment. It's really, really important you know, the growth of you, the growth of your business, and that sustainability piece. But it doesn't have to be black and white, right? It can be, you know, I'm gonna first go part-time, play with that for 6 to 12 months, then reassess, and then go from there. So get creative, be realistic. But this is awesome. Thank you so much for all your insight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I love what you said, which is just give yourself permission. I think living in the reality, it's kind of like if you're in a relationship with a significant other, no two partnerships are going to look the same. Mm-hmm. Give yourself the freedom to make you do you, which I know is cliche. But seriously, like, look at what you want out of speaking and make it happen. Don't allow other people who don't know what you want to speak hurtful truth. Speak helpful truth and give yourself the permission to charge more and hold the boundaries and protect what's valuable to you. And if it is a scale of regular time to part time to no time, that's great. Whatever gets you to your goals, as long as you're doing it the smart way, using this as a template, you're going to look back with no regrets.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And have a plan. Have a plan. That's what we do here at the Speaker Lab. Module 5, we build out that 3-year business plan for you. So definitely re-listen to this. Write down the 7 steps to this when to go full-time formula by Jeremy. And if you're not a student of the Speaker Lab, come check us out. Go to thespeakerlab.com, book a strategy call. We would love to see you on the other side. But thanks so much for spending this time with us. Jeremy, thank you so much. Value you and appreciate you immensely. You're an incredible coach and human being. And so I'm very grateful to have you here at the Speaker Lab. You want to say anything? Say a little goodbye.
No, just thank you. thank you for having me. Like, I thank you for the ability to share this. I've seen the way it helps people, and to get it out to more people is amazing. So thank you for the time.
You're awesome. All right, everybody, have an awesome day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple 6 figures. If that's you, I'd encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/call. Again, thespeakerlab.com/call, and book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.